Southern boy, as I come further south in the south. So I was just sort of reading this morning, and I was thinking about a few things, and I went to the Supernatural 1956. Brother Branham says, it's the people that gets away from God and not God from the people. They lose their faith. God covers all space, all everywhere. That's the bit that I was actually looking at, because you know, God's so big, he's not contained down in a little bottle. He just covers everything. Amen? In fact, everything's in God. Yeah. You can't get away from it. As Paul said, you know, if I go into hell, you're still there. So he's everywhere, and he's always has been everywhere, and he will always be everywhere. And in Hear Ye Him, Brother Branham said, 1957, he said, he's so big that he fills all space. Isn't that tremendous? What a God we serve. And then there was a couple of scriptures that I sort of started thinking about. In 1 John 5, I'll just read them. 1 John 5, 1 to 4, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, of course, you see, you've got to get back to God to get your faith. Amen? As Brother Justin said, you know, we don't come to church because we're perfect, but we're looking for that perfection. You know, God said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. I better stop. I'm going to get on to a separate message. and then from, again, 1 John 5, verse 10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Amen. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Yes.
And this is the confidence that we have in him,
not of him, but in him.
Amen? In him. That if we ask anything according to his will,
he heareth us. Amen. What's the will of God? It's the word of God, isn't it?
So you stay in the word. And if we know that he hears us,
if we have confidence, if we have faith,
if we are coming to him and believing in him, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of him. It's tremendous, isn't it? And the last piece to kind of close it out, because I love John so much, is going back to John 17. Just going to read 1 to 3. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. But this is the clincher. And this is life eternal, that they, who are they, sons, might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. What a tremendous God we serve, isn't it? All right, so I just ask you all to stand as we'll get into the message this morning. set me all up. You'll have to bear with me because I'm playing with technology for the first time, so it may not work. Let's just read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Verse 9, it says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." You may be seated. All right, you forgive me if I keep looking down a lot, because I'm going to have to play with the technology as I go along. But here in Matthew, in the message that I've got this morning, I've got the words big enough so I don't have to have my glasses on while I read them. So that's the problem when you get to 50. Right? Amen? Amen. Those of your brothers out there are going, yeah, amen, hallelujah. We've got a revelation of that, haven't we? Everything starts to fall apart. All right, I think the first time we were here, I was 29. Came with my wife. It was actually 99 the first time we came here. My oldest daughter was 2.5 then. She's nearly 20. So, you know, time slips by. And I was saying to Sister Christina and Sarah, it'll be 17, 18, I think, when we turned up. And now Christina's married and got two children. My, it goes by. But anyway, down to the message. So I've called this message the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer today. And if you've ever looked at the verses here in 9 to 13, there's a total of 72 words, right, in the scriptures we've just read. But what's more important is that from the word Our Father to Amen, there's 66 words. How many books in the Bible? 66. Right, you know, and to me, this prayer not only gives us a model of how to pray, but it is really a representation of the Bible itself. Which, if you then think about it, is actually a representation of you as an individual. Because you're a written epistle, read and known of all men. You're a part of that Word of God, aren't you? So, to me, it's a complete embodiment of our relationship to God. And if we really dig into this prayer, we can actually understand how we can be victorious and live through this age. Amen? So, what I want to do today is just walk together through the words of this prayer and dig a little deeper. And I just make a little bit of an apology. One, if you can't understand my accent, that's because you don't have the right accent. Number two, I may speak a little bit fast as we go along. So you're just going to have to keep awake and keep up. Okay? So if we look at the prayer here, it says, it starts, Our Father, which art in heaven. And the thing that really hits me here is that if you look at this, it's about relationship, lineage, and inheritance. Amen? You know, what a tremendous thing. You know, so right at the very opening lines, Jesus declares a full relationship between God himself and us. Right? Father, Son, and Sons. Note that it's our Father. Not, you know, here we see a relationship because we see the seed source of that relationship and we have that lineage and inheritance. You know, Jesus didn't say, my Father. He didn't say, their Father. He said, our Father. So he's automatically pulling us into relationship, into family, right? What a tremendous thing, just in those very first words. If you could just get a grip of that, you know, a lot of our junk would fall away, wouldn't it?
Amen.
And in the scripture it says here, it says Romans 8, 14 to 17, it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Which is the reason why we have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, you can't just, you know, I was born in this message, but I wasn't born in a message family, right? Just because you're in a message family doesn't mean that you're gonna turn it on, right? You actually have to meet Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
You have to have a personal relationship, right? And the Spirit of God will lead and guide you into all truth, amen? You know, 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Our Father, Abba Father. Amen? Amen. So it's tremendous, isn't it? And the Spirit, its Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not will be, but we are the children of God. Amen? Right? Isn't that tremendous? And I don't care what kind of situation you're in. There's only one unpardonable sin. Right? Whatever circumstances you're going through, whatever problems you have, you're still a child of God.
Yes.
If you believe. Amen? And as we said, you know, what happens is we get away from God. God doesn't get away from us.
Yeah.
You know, we need to come back to a faith center. We need to come back to a focus. Amen? Focus on our relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ. And 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of the Father, and joint heirs with Christ. There's our inheritance. You know, the firstborn son owned 50%, lock, stock, and barrel, amen? And the rest of the family had to wait till the father died to get their inheritance. Well, what are you going to do with a father who cannot die? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So the firstborn gave himself up so we could have an inheritance. Amen? What a tremendous thing. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Right? And we could have a message on that all together. In Galatians 4:6, it says, and because you are sons, not will be. You know, if there's any one thing we need to get in our head, is that we are sons.
Yeah.
Amen? Sons of the Spirit. Because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. How tremendous. In Hebrews 2:11-13, it says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. One what? One Spirit. Amen? For which cause he's not ashamed to call him brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call you brethren. Are you ashamed to call him? I'm not ashamed to call him. You know, I might fall down at times, and a lot of times I do. You know, if you want a list of the bad things, just go ask my wife. She'll give you a good list. Right? You know, I'll look at myself when I go, my list is pretty long. But we're not looking at that, are we? You know, we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In verse 13, and again I'll put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. What a tremendous thing. We're family, aren't we? Family, sons of his Spirit. Brother Branham says in the Smyrnian Church Age, hold this carefully in mind. Now, take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God, by his death, the shed blood, bought back his own, not somebody else. But he bought back his own children, didn't he? He bought back spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You always were sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Not goats made into sheep. You were sheep that maybe had a few pop on. Well, sheep can have horns for your ram, but you know, you were kind of a bit messed up and hanging around with the goats, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were disobedient children. You weren't children of disobedience.
True.
Amen. Because you always were sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned into sheep. That's impossible. For every kind of life produces the same kind, and there's no change in species.
Yeah.
Amen? Serpent seed can't become son of God. It's just impossible. Right? You know? Apple can't become a pear. Well, you can graft in maybe certain kinds of fruit, like the citrus fruit you can graft in, but it can't change the species, right? It can live off the life, but it can't change what it is. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, we had to come to a day when we would hear his voice, the word, and hearing that voice became aware of our Father calling us, amen, and recognize that we are sons of God. We heard his voice and we cried out, as did the prodigal son, save me, O my Father, I'm returning to thee. What a tremendous thing, isn't it? An identification and Tullier, 1964, then, see, God came down and the character of God was Christ. He was the reflection. He was God. Made visible. Notice God made visible.
The word made manifest.
Right? What is the Son? The Son is just the manifestation of the invisible God. It's the word made manifest. What are you? You are a manifestation. Right? In your own order. Every man in his own order. You are a word. He was the word. 52, in the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. No. God is an object of worship. The only thing he was eternal. Elohim, wasn't he? He was great eternal spirit, covering all space and all time. There was nothing. There was no universe. Where was the universe? It was just God. In fact, it wasn't God, as he says. It was just Elohim. And in him was attributes, and those attributes was thoughts. And those thoughts was expressed to words, and a word was made manifest. You know, God says, my word shall go out, it shall not return unto me void.
Amen.
Amen? If you are an attribute or a word of God spoken, you shall not return void.
Amen.
Amen? But you shall accomplish that which He has purposed for you.
Mm-hmm.
May not feel like it. Some days are pretty hard. Some days are pretty rough. Some days you make it harder for yourself than you should do. Amen? But you know, God's going to make a way, isn't He?
True.
You know, if you don't come walking, you'll get dragged through the bramble bushes, I can tell you that. 53. What is it? It's all God becoming tangible, and you are a part of God. You know, can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You are a part of God. So there's a part of you, you know, that seed attribute is eternal. You know? What a tremendous thing. And Jesus came to redeem those that was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Before I messed up, before I even came here, before anything happened, you know, I can look back and I can say my name's on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Amen? So what's happening here, I just gotta get with the program. I've got to get with the right thinking. It was in God's thoughts, and that's what He came to redeem. And them, as soon as it strikes to them, they see it because the life is there. Amen? Isn't it? It's the life. It's the Spirit. But if the life isn't there, then what can they do? See, they don't see it. They never see it. They don't see with the eyes of their understanding. And the whole thing, Jesus said, at that day you'll know that I am in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. The whole thing is God becoming material. Just like husband and wife becoming one together, God and His church becoming one. Father, Son, sons. Amen? Jesus is the head of the body, the bride is the body, the two connected together, but there's only one Spirit. Amen? There's only one life coming through that body. And the way back from Shreveport, Louisiana, 62, says, now we don't have to be smart, we don't have to be educated, we have to believe. We have to humble ourselves and empty ourselves for God to manifest Himself through us. Empty up yourself. Get yourself out of the way. The biggest enemy you have is yourself.
Yeah.
Amen? Then Brother Branham says, you know, I'm just trying to get out of the way so that He can make Himself manifest. Amen? Now, you believe God? Do you do it? Now, if God our Father, which is the Holy Ghost, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Holy Ghost, we know that. Amen? He's not His own Father, is He? That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And if that Holy Ghost can come into you and I and perform the very life that Christ lived, where is your place of doubt? I mean, we just got to get our junk out of the way, don't we? You know, we've got to bring every thought in subjection to the knowledge of Christ. You believe that? He will do it. I don't say He will. Now remember, people believe in these days past, but He promised it in the last days. You know, God has promised to us, you can be 100% victorious. Amen? In your daily life. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to race around and be like Jesus and do all these things, or even be like the prophet and do all these things. You play in position. You stay in your position and you play in your position, but you will be as Christ, 100%, in the place that He's put you in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right? Because, you know, the body has many members, but not every member has the same office. You know, we can't all be the same. You know, as Brother Bannon used to say, well, you know, the problem was that everybody's trying to play with the ball, or someone's growing corn over there, and somebody else suddenly wants to grow corn. Now, you do what the Lord tells you to do. That's the prime thing. So from the scriptures and the quotation of Brother Branham, we can see that Jesus has declared us to be sons of God. Amen? God is, not God was or will be, but God is, and always has been our Father. We were in His thoughts from the foundation of the world, and through His Son, Jesus Christ, we've come back into relationship so that we can be placed by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. God is our Father, and He always has been. Amen? Hallowed be Thy name. Well, the name equals a nature, doesn't it? Which equals manifestation. So God is a holy God, and His holy nature was invested into His name. And this name was given to His Son, so that through this name could His nature be made manifest. Because Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son, is the manifestation of the invisible God. But through Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and secondarily,
through sons of his Spirit that would come to repentance by revelation and recognition and submission to that name.
Amen.
John 17:25, Jesus says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Trying to do God a service without it being his will. Jeffersonville, Indiana, 65. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Every son comes in his Father's name, and he came in the name of the Father. And there is not another name under heaven given among men, whether it's called Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, or whatever it is, might be done. There's only one meeting place that God meets man, and that's when he's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You know, now, look, we're message believers. We believe in the message of the hour. God has shown us a vindicated prophet, but Brother Branham's not your Savior. We're not trying to get into Brother Branham. Amen. And I'm not trying to belittle a prophet, but we need to get into the Christ that Brother Branham told us about. Right? You're not trying to get into the spirit of Paul McTaggart or the spirit of Brian Kazuru or even the spirit of Lee Vale, you know, listen to Lee Vale's days. We're getting into Christ. Amen? Now, if we, as ministers, are speaking the same thing, you know, as Brother Branham says, you know, God gets one man, he takes one man and he pops that message out. And then he says, and then those who are faithfully taught. Amen? But, you know, as Brother Brian says, you know, it's not just the word, but it has to be the Spirit as well. Amen? Because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, the two of them have to go together. You can't have the Spirit without the word, and you can't just have the word without the Spirit. Because if you just have the word, you just have law. You have legalism and debt. If you just have the Spirit, well, you're off in the sunset somewhere, right? Believe in whatever you believe. But the two of them combined together is going to give us the right place. And there's only one meeting place that God meets man, and that's when he's in Jesus Christ, the only place. And all those old things back there under the Old Testament type that. I want you to clearly understand it. Now, it's Sunday school lesson. I've got some scriptures and notes written down here. Brother Brown talks on from there. I just put the whole paragraph in. God has therefore vested his name and therefore his power and authority into his Son, Jesus Christ. The name of God was previously unknown, for God was known by the title of Elohim, self-existing one, or maybe Jehovah, which is God with his family. But God became personalized through the expression of the name of Jesus Christ in the body of his own Son. Amen? This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell in. So you had the totality of God being expressed in one man, Jesus Christ. Amen? And obviously through the crucifixion and the resurrection, that Holy Spirit life is able to be now accessible to all sons. Amen. So we now have a pattern to follow that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. And in Acts 4:10-12 it says, Be it known unto you and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12, Neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen? Only in Jesus Christ. And through Christ, the Son singular, the whole family has access to take on the name and therefore the nature of Christ. As we take on the name of Jesus through submission to the Spirit by the Word, so the Spirit and the Word have to go together at the Spirit of the Word of the Hour, we take on the nature of that name,
Amen.
And that nature will live itself out through you as you yield to that nature.
Amen.
The whole family is named Jesus Christ, many, but it's still singular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ephesians 3:11-16 says, According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You know, you don't even live by your own faith. Galatians 2:20. You go read Galatians 2:20, right? Whose faith do you live by? You live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. No wonder Godhead and Father Son relationship is so important in this hour. You know, Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that tremendous? So 11 says, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Amen. What's the name of the family?
Jesus Christ.
What's your name?
Jesus Christ.
What's the name of the Father?
Jesus Christ.
What's the name of the Son?
Jesus Christ.
It's just Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? In the name of Jesus Christ is the only place that God will have true worship with the believer. We have seen the manifestation of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. As the scripture says, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it, right? But I might slightly get it wrong. It says, you know, it talks about saying, unless you declare that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, right? And you say, well, where's that happening? Where's Jesus? I can't see the body. But we're not talking about Jesus Christ the man. We're talking about the same Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of God. Where is the Spirit of God is come in the flesh? Well, I've seen a manifestation over there. Amen? I could point to that picture and say, Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not listening correctly, you could take it the wrong way and think that I'm deifying Brother Branham. No, I'm not deifying Brother Branham.
That's right.
Brother Branham is a member of the body of Christ. He's God's prophet in this hour. But that is Jesus Christ come in the flesh, because it's a manifestation of the same Spirit that was in Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? Son of Man ministry in this hour. You are the same. Right? If the Spirit of Christ is in you, then it's Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Right? Not in the same order of the Son of God or a prophet, right? Or even a fivefold ministry, but you are still a member of the body of Christ. You are still important. The body is not complete without you. Right? Amen?
Yeah.
The body's not complete until the last one's in. What are we all sitting here for? Right? We're waiting for the last one to come and get child trained, aren't we?
Sure.
Amen. Getting messages inside the messages, aren't we? So that's the only place that God will have true worship with the believer, right? Is when we're seeing the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a tremendous thing. God's chosen place of worship. My friends, I don't want to hurt your feeling, but I'm responsible for a message. And the message has come out of the mess. And I've asked you to come out. Where are you going to go to? Would I take you to the Branham Tabernacle? It's as much as fault as the rest of them. Whew. I thought that was the center of the universe, brother. Amen. But you know, Brother Branham talked about his own church, right, and said, you know, you guys need to straighten yourself out. You're going all wild and going off left field. And look, we all know there's three kinds of believers in every church. Right? But there's only one place I can take you to where you're safe and protected from death. And that's in Jesus Christ, God's place of worship. Amen.
That's right.
Right? You know, we need a bit more preaching of that, don't we?
That's right.
Not, you know, doctrine is important. I absolutely believe in doctrine, because if you don't have doctrine, you don't have a backbone. That's what Brother Van said, right? But it's got to be in Christ.
Yes.
It's got to be in the word of the hour. It's got to be in the spirit of the word of the hour. That's the place I'm introducing you tonight, where God put his name, where he promised he would meet every person that come in there. Amen? Get into Christ. He would worship with him, feast with him. That's in Christ. Not in no church, not here, not in the church, not in Grace Fellowship Tabernacle. GFT1, that's right, I remember that from that. You know, it's in Christ, okay? But in Christ, he's God's tabernacle. He's the place that God came into himself and dwelt in. This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell in. There is where God tabernacled, bought his name and placed it upon Jesus Christ. Therefore his name was put in a man, his Son, Jesus Christ, in which he tabernacled himself and in that tabernacle. We're in a type of old Jerusalem. The old feast, the old temple was a type where the smoke come in. And the day that the ark went in of the covenant, he settled down and the voice of God was heard from it. So did the voice of God be heard, coming into the tabernacle Jesus Christ, which was the old natural, which was a type and shadow of the new. And when he came into Christ, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. And I will choose a place where I'll put my name, and where I will meet man, and where I will worship at." God chose a place, not in no church denomination, but in Jesus Christ, his servant. Amen. I'm with you, Brother Branham. God's chosen place of worship. Jeffersonville, Indiana, again, 65. What a great lesson of these things would be if we take time to break them out. Now notice, not one word of the shadows failed. Not one word ever failed of the shadow. Everything typed perfectly. He is God's chosen place of worship, and God's name is given to him. He is God's place of worship, and God's name is given to him. He is the Word of God. He is the name of God. He is both the Word of God and the name of God. He was the Word made flesh. He was the Word of God, Lamb of God, name of God, and was God. And that's, he was the chosen and only place of worship to God. And God refuses any other place besides in Jesus Christ. You cannot worship him anywhere. He said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Well, if you're teaching anything but Father and Son, you're not in the right place of worship. Today we have creeds, dogmas, and everything that teaches this is the way and that is the way. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to God except by me."
Amen.
In other words, I am the door to the sheepfold. All without are thieves. He's the only approach. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, the life. That's all there is. The only entrance, the only place, the only worship, the only name. Make it more clearer than that, can you? Everything is tied to Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament is tied to him. The New Testament's tied to him. The church today is tied to him by the word of his commandment. There's not another place or another name or anywhere where God ever promised to meet man, only in Jesus Christ, his chosen place of worship. You know, Brother Branham says the only Jesus that people will see today is you, Christ in you. Because that's the only place where Jesus Christ is today. Right? It's his spirit in the word in you. That's the only place. And by taking on the name of Jesus Christ to ourselves, through repentance and going on to be filled with the Spirit, because you can be baptized, right? But you need to be filled with the Spirit, I mean. Because it's by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. We are placed into that one mystical body, and there's one Spirit that fills one body. Yet it's a body with many members, and as I said, each member has its own purpose for the perfection of the whole, as God sees fit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13-14, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Ephesians 4, 4-6, it says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." What a tremendous thing. Mm-hmm. Amen. God our Father, isn't it? Romans 12, 4 and 5, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another." How much more we ought to love one another, eh? If we're all part of the same body. I mean, you don't take a big knife and stick it in your leg and say, "You know, leg, I had old enough of you. I'm going to stick a knife into you," or something like that. It's a bit crazy, isn't it? Unfortunately, we tend to do that at times, don't we? Get a bit prickly on those little fish hooks on the elbow. You start get going, you know, we get a bit grumpy and had a bit of a bad day. And next thing you know, old Adam's out and the buzzsaw's going, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 6, 15-17. "Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Then shall I make the members of Christ and make the members of a harlot? God forbid. What you know not, that he which is joined to a harlot is one body. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Amen. So the name has a nature that lives out through the body as it comes into subjection to the spirit that is in the name. The spirit of the King of Kings, and a king is not without a kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Which brings us on to, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is first spiritual and then it's physical. The kingdom of God begins within you and then moves out into the physical realm. The will of God comes into manifestation on earth as we submit our wills to the perfect will of our Father. So let's look at the kingdom of God being within you. It says in Luke 17:20-21, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And how's that? Well, if the Spirit is within you, the Spirit is the King of the kingdom. Amen? Then the kingdom is within you. The Spirit is the King of the kingdom, and if the Spirit of God is in you, then the King of the kingdom is operating through you as a vessel. If you have submitted yourself unto him, he will be able to put you into action for the purpose that he had for you in his mind before the foundation of the world. So let's have a look how this played out for Peter. All right, so Peter the Apostle, questions and answers 54, it says, "Now, watch now." The next he says, "And thou art Simon, and I give unto thee." Because he had spiritually revealed truth, what did Peter have? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had the revelation of Godhead and sonship, didn't he? That's the reason he knows the difference between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a spiritual revelation. That's what you're understanding tonight, where the Holy Spirit's opening it up to us. He said, "Thou art Simon, and I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on this earth, I will bind in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on this earth, I will loose in heaven." Did he say it? St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. "Whatsoever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. I'll give unto you the keys to what? The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? The Holy Spirit." The Bible said the kingdom of heaven is within you. I mean the kingdom of God, excuse me, says, I mean the kingdom is within you. So God is the kingdom of, God is the king of that kingdom. If you have the Spirit of God within you, the Spirit of Christ, what do you have? You have the King of the kingdom is operating through you. And for the perfect will of God to be made manifest, it requires crucifixion. Because that's what Jesus had to go through, amen? Mm-hmm. And in order to come into his full position, he had to go through a crucifixion. And I tell you, brother and sister, we have to come the same way. Right. There's no, if you want resurrection, you have to come through crucifixion. Mm-hmm. It requires crucifixion of our own thinking to accept and submit to the will, which is the Word of God. As we can see from the example that our elder brother gave us in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14:36, and he said, "Abba, Father." So there he is speaking, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee." So Jesus is praying to dodge the cross, isn't he? He's going, "Look, if there's another way that I can do this, let me do it. Right? Take away this cup from me." He says, "But nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." What a great example. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? And as we begin, as we bring our thinking into subjection to the knowledge of God and the obedience of Christ, we become, spelling mistake, you know, we become more like him because the Spirit comes through us. Amen? You know, it's really simple, but it's very hard at times. I mean, I can testify to that. You know, if you look into me up here and being anything at all, blow that away in 5 minutes. You know, look to Christ. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Amen? You know, I remember Brother Branham saying, you know, I think I might be talking to Brother Bowie, he says, you know, "All my thoughts are of God." Knowing God, my thoughts are not all of God, I can tell you. Probably 90% of my thoughts in the day are not all of God. But the secret, I believe, is that as you bring yourself to the knowledge of Christ, as you bring yourself to the Word and you superimpose the Word over anything that you think, then you start to begin to think all your thoughts being of God. Amen? Because you're going to go, "I'm going to go, well, what does the Lord say about this? You know, should I do this deal or should I not do this deal? What does the Lord think about that? You know, and as you submit yourself, then God starts to take control. Okay? The deity of Jesus Christ, 1949. Who are you this morning? Brother Brand's asking a question. Then he says, who is Christ? He's asking a question. He's in you as much as you let him be. He's pressing, trying to get into you, to move into you today. And you stand off and wonder and look and gaze and hold back a little while. Don't do that. Move straight into the kingdom of God. The hour is here.
Amen.
Amen. You know, deity of Jesus Christ. You know, and I'll pull out the key things from here. It says, look, you'll make mistakes. So Christ is trying to press into you. You're going to make mistakes. Oh, I don't feel like a Christian today. You know, I messed up again. Did that thing again. You know, Brother Branham said, always say you're a Christian. Always say that you have strong faith.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's kind of contrary, isn't it? Because you go, on the one hand, I'm messing up and I'm doing all these things wrong. If I look at the word, if I look at it from a legal sense, you know, I'm going to fail, aren't I? But what he's saying is don't look at the law, you look at grace. And you come back and you say, hang on a minute, it's our Father. It's my Father. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? It's not me. I need less of me and I need more of him. I need to be able to get out of the way. I need to be able to yield myself. And you bring yourself back. Amen? You bring yourself back in repentance. You repent. You keep moving. You know, it's like riding a bike. You know, if you fall off the bike the first time and give up, well, that's a waste of time, isn't it? You've got to fall off three or four more times and then you're off on that bike. So that same power of Christ that was hung on Calvary's cross, the same God that raised him up on the day of the resurrection, is in you now, you that's got the Holy Ghost. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? You know, if he says speak, I can speak, it'll happen. You know, but it's like Brother Graham says, I do nothing unless the Father shows me. Don't go racing off into the sunset going, hallelujah, way I go. You know, in fact, if you have the Spirit of God, you just sit still and do nothing until he tells you to do something. But of course, what we're going to have is, see, in the end, God will be manifest totally through Jesus Christ and the bride. Husband and wife, one flesh, one body, and will have dominion over and above that body. Of course, in Revelation, we have Lamb upon the throne. We have the bride. What do we have above the Lamb? We have the pillar of fire. We have the light, don't we? We have a representation, same as we have over there. We have a representation of the presence of Almighty God himself, above all, in all, and through all. You know, it's all God's plan. It's all God's purpose. And of course, in 1 Corinthians 15:24-27, it says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. You know, a bit of Father and Son in there. Who's delivering what to who? Is he going to deliver it to himself? Here, I've done this, I'm going to deliver it to myself. No, it's the Son's going to deliver it to the Father, isn't it? When he shall have put down all rule, authority, and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It's Jesus sitting upon the Father's throne. We are sitting in heavenly places now in Christ Jesus. Amen. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. So Elohim, great eternal spirit, is not sitting under Jesus' feet. You know, he is above all it. In all and through all. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. And does God ever change his mind about his word? God permitted Israel to take a law in Exodus 19, the chapter, when grace had already given them a prophet, pillar of fire, the sacrifice lamb, delivering power, but they cried out for a law. It wasn't God's will, but it was injected because man wanted it. And he was cursed by the very law that he wanted. It's best to have God's will. That's what he taught us. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We must submit ourselves to his will and his word. Don't question it. Believe it.
Don't try to find a way around it. Just take it as it is.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Then everything's going to be fine, isn't it? You know? You just want to be working in His full will. Give us this day our daily bread.
Now, Jesus is not talking about a loaf of bread. I'm sorry. Right here, right now. You know? In this part, Jesus is not talking about natural food. After all, in Matthew 4:4, He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know, so we can see that the real importance is not daily food intake for our physical bodies, although we do pray for that. Amen. But what is important is the daily bread word that comes from God to us. We need a word that is delivered each day like the manna that came from heaven. You know, and that word has to be for the day in due season. It's spiritual food in due season, isn't it? You know. John 6:27-35 says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now, of course, this scripture is all the part where Jesus just fed the 5,000, right? And, of course, they saw the miracle of the bread being made, and because they were just in their natural mind, they went, "Here's bread manufacture." You know, if we can latch on to this source, we've got an endless supply of bread. Because, you know, you need to think about the times they're living in, right? They didn't have Walmart or Costco or, you know, go down to the supermarket. You know, life was pretty tough, you know. And bread was the staple of anyone's diet, right? And so, of course, they're thinking natural bread. Jesus is trying to push them off to the real bread, isn't he? And they said, "Well, what might we do that we might work the ways of God? How can we make this bread? You know, Lord, give me the power to make this bread. I'll be a rich man. I'll start myself a bread factory, won't I?" And he said, "You know, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Yeah.
Whew. You know, there's the works. Believe on him that he hath sent. Well, I'll believe on him because he's been sent. Amen? Because it's the same Spirit, that's right. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert." Now they're pointing back to Moses, aren't they? "As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and is given, and giveth life to the world." And they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Still talking about natural bread. Not, ain't getting it. And so Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now, here we see the people looking for bread for the belly, but Jesus is pointing people to himself as the manifested word of the hour. The living bread that was sent from God in heaven as the bread of life. A bread that did not leave one hungry after you partook of it. Amen? Jesus was and is that bread of life. And we must partake of daily that spiritual food in due season. From spiritual food in due season, Brother Bram says, "And it gives me great pleasure to get to see when you know that you have a message from God and you give it to the people and see the people respond to that. Then you look back and say, 'Thank you, Father.' Oh, what a joy it is to see the children eating the bread that's been sent to them." You realize that was a vision years ago, right here at this tabernacle. That's right, the bread of life. Brother Neville, you remember it? Mighty time. And again, from spiritual food in due season. We're going to get too late if we don't start the prayer line now, so let's just bow our heads a moment. Dear God, food in due season, spiritual food, something the world knows nothing about. Down in 135 it says, "Truly, Lord, this food was to do the will of God, to see the works of God made manifest in this hour. He was there to see that it was done. I do nothing except the Father shows me. What the Father shows me, I do. And Father, so it is today. The church, the true believer, the believers has access to food, spiritual food, that the nominals know nothing about.
The world knows nothing of this food, Father, but your church, your people, your bride, your son loves it. So we have access to healing of our bodies when the doctors have failed. We have access to this. It's one of the foods of God. You know, that bread of life coming through us. It's the Spirit, isn't it? If it's the Spirit, then we have access to all those things. So you can see here that we have spiritual food, bread in due season now. Give us this day our daily bread, every day. Collect that bread every day for you. Lord, what's the bread for me today? You know, I have need for this. Give me the bread, Lord. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Getting a bit personal now. In this part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us that faith is based on forgiveness. And that through forgiveness, we ourselves have access to the grace of God and forgiveness for our faults and failings. You know, Brother Branham says he's backslide 1,000 times a day. It's pretty rough, isn't it? But it's true. Maybe some of us 2,000 or 3,000. I'm not counting anyway. One's bad enough, isn't it? You know, the scripture tells us if you're guilty in one part of the law, you're guilty the whole lot. Right? But, you know, isn't it tremendous that I don't have to worry about the law, you don't have to worry about the law, because we have the grace of God. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Apply the token every day. Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Perfect faith, Brother Branham says. Now, faith is based on forgiveness. Then, as we said this morning, trying to get the church into a place to where we could really see apostolic times moving among us. That's what we all hunger. And it's just laying right at the door. We see it, but we want to see more of it. We want it such a flow that it will be a help to us flow out to others. Now, the whole purpose of this is not for ourselves, but it's for others, right? The body edifies itself in love. It's about edification of the body of Christ. But, of course, faith, forgiveness. If you want power flowing in your life, you have to have forgiveness, right? You have to forgive others first. Man, there's a bit of crucifixion there sometimes, isn't there? You know, have to bring those, you know, they did me wrong. Well, you know, Jesus said, love your enemies. Maybe if they're out there somewhere, what if they're next door, you know? And Jesus, and Mark 11:22-25, and Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe all those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But here's the hook, isn't it? Verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive.
Amen.
You know, there's a bit of conditional here on getting what you're asking for. If you have aught against any, that's pretty tight, isn't it? That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Amen. You know, faith is based on forgiveness. So faith and forgiveness flow together. You cannot have faith without forgiveness. You can't, because the scripture says you can't. If you have aught, you know, if you have aught against any, the flow of power will not work. You know, that light will not work in the socket if the wire's broken. That aught against any is a break in the wire. Right? The connection to the source is broken. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 1 Corinthians 10:1-13, Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and rock was Christ. But many of them he was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as some of them were, as it were written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur. And a lot of murmuring in the tents, wasn't there? Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened for an example. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Right? Don't, you know, pride cometh before a fall, they say. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And that's the thing you've got to remember. There's a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. But, you know, you've got to take that way of escape. And James, of course, tells us a lot about all of this stuff, right? And he lays it right squarely where it deserves to be laid, which is right on ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, in the book of James, James is not talking to unbelievers, he's talking to believers. You go read the book of James, you know, and you go, man, it's a bit heavy going. James 1:12-21, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Okay, that's the truth, that's the word of God, isn't it? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Tell you what, brother, it's all in sitting in here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, that old Adamic nature is just waiting to get out. You know, the scripture says the body is dead because of sin. Now, often we think, well, that's we age and we die, even though we've got the Holy Spirit. You see that sin nature in the flesh, because there's the problem, it's the hybridization of the flesh from the garden is where our problem is, right? Now, you know, bless God, we are saved and sanctified with the Holy Ghost, but I tell you what, if you step left or right from that center line, that old Adamic nature is just waiting to go. Satan will work on that Adamic nature like nobody's business. Right? He'll drag you back into that muck pit faster than you know what to do. Because the scripture says, you know, it's when you are drawn away of your own lust. Right? That's why Brother Branham says, you know, the devil's got a punch coming for you, but you've got to cover it with prayer. Amen? That's why every day we need to bring ourselves into subjection. And then, of course, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. Pretty sobering words, isn't it? So he tells us not to err, and, you know, of course, the way of escape is through Jesus Christ, isn't it? And the important thing is that, you know, we must recognize that we must live in submission to God,
yes,
to be able to overcome temptation and sin in our lives. Brother and sister, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but the potential is still there to get off track. Right? Don't think you are so big now that you're filled with the Holy Ghost that the world's just a breeze. In fact, that's where the war starts. Right? That's where the battle is. Every day. Every day. But you look to it and say, Lord, you've given me, wherever I put the sole of my foot, that you've given me like the promised land, that's what I'm going to believe in. Right? Bringing your mind in subjection to the Word. And of course, the key to overcoming sin is not fighting yourself. Right? So often people say, I'm going to resist the devil, I'm just going to fight the devil. Well, I tell you what, you're going to lose. Right? The devil is far more smarter, and he's been working at this for more centuries than you ever have been. Amen?
Amen?
You know, he was up there in heaven fighting it out before we even turned up on earth. But of course, what does God say in James 4:7? He says, now this is the key, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Right? Most people just read, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. They forget the submission bit. Right? So the key is, if you submit yourself therefore to God, which is the revealed word of the hour, which is the spirit of the hour, get into Christ, then, you know, devil can't see you anymore. Right?
Yeah.
Because my life is hid with Christ and God.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, He comes up to God and bam, there's just blood, isn't there? You know, where's Paul McTaggart? He doesn't exist anymore. You know, but if you step out, you're out in the hot zone, aren't you? You know, you've got to get back in that fire base, right? You've got to get right back into God. So submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? Because it's not you that he's coming against, but it's the power of God. Amen? That's a tremendous thing. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. So getting down to the why here, now we see a declaration that the kingdom is already established, and the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom of which we've already seen that we're members of his body and we are kings and priests of that kingdom. Right? Now the two interesting things is a king is never without dominion and a priest is never without mercy.
Amen.
Amen. He hath made us kings and priests. Amen. But he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Isn't that tremendous? Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength from the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them them before our God day and night. Well, that's his job, isn't it? You know, devil's got a job. His job's to accuse us day and night. Any accusation going on this fella here, I can tell you that. But, you know, thanks be to God, when we pray, God doesn't hear us, he only hears Christ. He only hears us through the blood. Amen? You know? Revelation of Jesus Christ, Church Age Book. He hath made us. Oh, there are certain truths we need to emphasize. This is one of them. He, God, hath made us. Salvation is his doing. Salvation is of the Lord, all of grace. He redeemed us for a purpose. You know, God's not haphazard in his business. He don't muck around. He don't just, you know, just get it jumbled together and maybe just do something. He has a purpose, doesn't he? He has a purpose in your life, each and every one of you. Amen. He's redeemed us for a purpose. He bought us for a purpose. We are kings, spiritual kings. We should start acting like it. Amen. Oh, we are going to be kings upon the earth with him when he sits upon his throne. But now we are spiritual kings and we reign over a spiritual kingdom. We are seated now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? So if you are a king, you have dominion. You have power. You have authority in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen?
For by one man's offense, death reigned once, and much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And in Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom reign of his dear Son. Amen. Right now we reign with Christ, having dominion over sin. Why? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Amen? That's how the dominion is. The world, the flesh and the devil, showing forth his praise and glory, showing forth himself. I'm feeling religious now, I can tell you. For it is Christ in us, willing and doing his good pleasure. If you just let him do it. Amen? Yes, indeed. Even now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in Revelation of Jesus Christ, Church Age Book, Chapter 1, and made us priests, yes, priests unto him, offering the spiritual praise of sanctified lips, spending our lives as a sweet offering unto him, worshipping him in spirit and in truth, interceding and petitioning, priests and kings unto our God. No wonder the world does not appeal to us, and we are peculiar people, zealous unto good works. We have been recreated in him to be children like unto our Father. Amen. And at the end of the prayer, what does it say? Amen. And of course we know amen means so be it. All right? In Isaiah 55:11, the Lord says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Your A word, that word went out. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Amen? Where are you sent, brother, sister? You know, you're here for a purpose. You're here for God's plan. You're here for salvation by Jesus Christ. Amen? What a tremendous thing. So, in summary, here we have a perfect prayer, but not just a bunch of words, right? We are this prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this prayer is actually you. You are this prayer, right? You know, it's a perfect prayer that places us as sons of His Spirit in position and in a place that we've been predestinated to be. This prayer instructs and equips us with all that we have need of. If we can truly submit ourselves to the Spirit and the intent of the Lord's Prayer, then we are able to step into that prayer and become the son or daughter that God always intended us to be.
Amen.
Amen. Let this prayer not just be words, but become a living reality for you. Then it will truly be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Thank you for your patience. We just stand. We just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just are so grateful, Lord, for Thy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of reconciliation, Lord, the Spirit of transformation, Lord, the Spirit of where we become new creatures, new creation in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to get an understanding, Father, of Your plan and purpose for us. Help us just, Lord, to shed aside all of our humanity and our junk and trash that we carry around with us, Lord. You know, the darkness of our minds, Lord, where we get so confused and we're not sure how things are hanging together. And Lord, if we could just get out of the way, if we could just even just step back a little bit. And as Brother Branham said, you know, we are Christians. We are strong faith. And Brother Branham said in another place, use that sword. He said, plunge it into the heart of the enemy. You know, maybe it's looking very dark, but if we just keep jabbing away with that sword, like the little bird picking, soon the cracks will appear, and then the cracks will give way to that darkness, just shedding way to the glorious light that You've given us. And Lord, we know that all things are possible because You are God who covers all space and all time. Thank You, Lord, for this time. We thank You for the power and resurrection through Jesus Christ. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that takes control of our lives and washes us by the water of the Word, Father. And we commit ourselves to Thee today. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe if we could sing a song. Let's grab one. I think I was looking at 68. Sister Christina, I think 68. I'm trying to pick one that I can sing. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There
Great is Thy faithfulness,
great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
And maybe if we just sing the chorus.
To be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.